Pray with me. Holy God and Father, you are the pillar of fire that leads us to each new moment of our lives. By the power of your Holy Spirit, settle now into our hearts and illuminate your holy word and will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God coming from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." These, my friends, are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. With today being Pentecost, the day when the church has historically celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church, have you ever wondered what the word Pentecost means? The word Pentecost simply means 50. The reason for this is that the Jewish feast of Pentecost occurs 50 days after the celebration of Passover. And just as the Christian Easter fulfills the Jewish Passover, Christian Pentecost fulfills the Jewish Pentecost. In a way, it resembles Christmas, because just as Christmas marks the birthday of Christ, Pentecost marks the birthday of the church. It is the first day of the rest of the church's life, the rest of her life. The Holy Spirit, who is the very soul and the very life of the church, comes down upon the church and his people at Pentecost. And so, again, I wish all of God's people a very happy birthday. Friends, the entirety of history can be divided into three different stages based on the revelation of the three persons of God the Holy Trinity, who manifested themselves one by one. While the Old Testament contains glimpses, signs, and hints of the one God being triune, the complete revelation of the Trinity occurred later in the New Testament. All three persons of the Holy Trinity are eternal and always act in unity together. Yet we experience their revelation in succession over time. This is what I mean, my friends. Before the incarnation of Christ, God the Father revealed himself, starting with the creation of the whole world. And then, in the Gospels, it was also God the Son who revealed himself and the Father most fully. For he is the Logos, the Word of the Father made flesh, the mind of the Father, and the Father's eternal knowledge of himself. So perfect that it is a person, the second eternal divine person. Then, throughout the rest of history, beginning with Pentecost, it was also God the Holy Spirit who is revealed, who is the Spirit of the Father and the Son, the love that unites them, a love so perfect that the Holy Spirit is also a person, the third eternal divine person of God. Each of these three stages is a progress, not for God, who is eternal and unchanging, but for us, who live and grow in time, both spiritually and materially. Jesus told his disciples that it would be better for them if he were to go away back to heaven and send the Holy Spirit to his people. We find that hard to believe. We think we would be better off if Jesus had not ascended back to heaven, but had remained on earth in his human body forever. We probably want to elect him president, but he wouldn't run. He himself says it is better for us to have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God is love. The aim of love is intimacy. And the Holy Spirit enables us to experience maximum intimacy with God and God with us. You might think of God the Father as God outside of us, God the Son as God beside us, and God the Holy Spirit as God within us. It's all about what love desires and demands, which is union with God. If you genuinely love someone, you want to grow closer and closer to them increasingly. You want to be part of every aspect of their life. From the beginning, in the Old Testament, God the Father intervenes into people's lives, disrupting their fallen and foolish nature and ways. In the Gospels, God the Son draws even closer to us by becoming one of us, alongside us, and revealing more and more of the Father. And then at Pentecost, God the Holy Spirit enters into us, his people, and through the church, which he is the soul and life of, he shows us even more clearly who God is through his guidance, knowledge, power, and word. The supreme doctrine, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, serves as the map of ultimate reality, so to speak. And that truth has been entrusted to God's church. God is one, my friends, and always acts as one, with all three divine persons working together. When God created the world, the Father did so by speaking his word. his word of command, let there be. And by sending the Holy Spirit to move and bring life into all things. Every time that we pray, all three persons of the Holy Trinity are actively at work within us. God the Father is the person we pray to, drawing us from above. God the Holy Spirit inspires us to pray, moving us from within. God the Son is the way that connects us with the Father. The Son is our mediator next to us because he is both fully God and fully man. During the first Pentecost, we observe three miraculous physical signs. One, the mighty rushing wind. Two, the tongues of fire. And three, the miracle of speaking in tongues in various languages. Each of these reveals something about God. The wind conveys that God is life and the source of all existence, both physically and spiritually. In the Hebrew language, the original language of the Old Testament, the words for life, breath, air, and wind, are all the exact same by the same term. The Hebrew word for them is ruach. In the New Testament, the Greek equivalent is pneuma. Friends, the wind of God imparts life to his people. That is one huge gift for God's people. Praise be to God. The fire tells us that God is a heart ablaze with love and truth, that he is not cold, but fervent. God is not a polar ice cap, but a volcano. Not a polite philanthropist, but a passionate lover. When the various nations in Jerusalem suddenly comprehend each other's languages, fostering peace and unity rather than misunderstanding and division, reversing the Babel that began with the Tower of Babel, what does this miracle mean? What does the miracle that God is doing here? The Greek word for miracle means literally sign. What does this miracle signify? Or even better, what does this miracle signify? What does it truly reveal about God and in his spiritual reality? It reveals that God desires unity and peace and understanding and reconciliation and communication and light and truth. Light, life, and love are the Bible's three favorite words for describing the nature of God. They are the three things that we need most. And the three things for which we are designed as we are made in God's image and likeness. That's why the three greatest enemies are darkness, death, and damnation. Darkness, both physical and spiritual darkness, is the opposite of light. Death, both physical and spiritual death, is the opposite of life. And damnation is the opposite of love, the absence of loving or being loved. And light, life, and love are essential to the very life of God and of heaven and for us. For every person who lives, the choice given to them is simple. It is either God or nothing. If you don't want darkness, death, or damnation, then you need God. For it is only by God, through God, and in God that we receive light, life, and love as it is meant to be given. Because God is the only owner and giver of such good, perfect gifts. So come to God. For it is either God or nothing. There are only three things that we all must work for and devote our entire lives to, regardless of whatever else we do in life. They are God's light, life, and love. We also have three missional tasks. To proclaim the truth in a culture of lies. That is light. To advocate for life in a culture of death. That is life. And to live a life of true love. A life of true love that is also devoted to truth. Even as we strive to embody that love in a culture of selfishness and me-first consumerism and individualism, a life of sacrifice that puts others above ourselves and that clings to truth. Now that is the life of love. Light, life, and love. We are called to be that light, to be that fire, and to promote reconciliation in this material world, to let our very bodies be a house happily inhabited by the Holy Ghost. And that is the gift that God gives on this Pentecost day. He never leaves us alone. He constantly wants to come closer and closer and closer and closer to us. That is one of the main focuses of God's work in His church. We are meant to point you towards the one and only who can give you these things, God and God alone. You heard in our prayers today, there are real struggles that are going on in this world. There are real struggles that are going on in the life of those people that we love, who are not just members of this church, but because of this, they are family. They are flesh and blood of ours in the Spirit of God. I know that Charlie is in heaven, but my heart breaks for John and Nicole, for others who have lost loved ones recently. I hope that this church, for those who are being and going through difficult times, that we can show you light, light, life, and love. How do we do that? God is love. And if God is love, and that is the Spirit that lives in me, and that is the Spirit that lives in you, And this is how we are a help to others. I love you. God loves you. And to the best of my ability, through my words, through my deeds, through my actions, I am going to show you that love. Not because those are acts or words that are strictly coming from me, but because that is the Spirit of God that is working inside of me. Because what comes from these things is joy. And I don't know about you, but I want joy. I want to experience all that God has for me. And God has more for me than I could comprehend or imagine. As much as I know, it's only a fragment. And so we provide meals. We ask people, how are you doing? We show up. We care for people. We lift people up. And when we do that, they and us will experience the light, life, and love of God. May it be so. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together, my friends. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We, your church, your people, and the people of this whole world are lost without you. Without you, there is darkness. Without you, there is death. Without you, there is damnation. And so, Lord, we don't want you just up above. We do not want you just beside. We want you in. We ask, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fall upon your people, that you would give us actions to do, you would give us words to say, that love, not just any type of love, because love is not just love, God is love, and we want God to reign here on earth. And so, Lord, may your love and only your love reign here on earth. May we be your mouthpiece. May we be your hands and your feet. May we see the people that are that surround us, that are going through difficult times, and may we be a blessing on your behalf. We ask, O Lord, for your guidance in all things. We ask, O Lord, for your strength in all things. We ask, O Lord, for you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, loving Father. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless your people. Thank you to you, the one and only true God. Amen.